Our text this morning is found in Amos chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. Amos was living in the little insignificant village of Tekoa. Tekoa is on the border of the wilderness. It is between Bethlehem and the Dead Sea. It is about the last outpost of civilization before you get into that Judean wilderness. Even to the present time, Tekoa is just an extremely small village. It's just an area of little houses with plots of ground that are farmed and grazing of sheep to the present day. Amos, living in Tekoa, one day received the call of God to go to Bethel and to begin to prophesy against the northern kingdom of Israel. And as he was there in Bethel prophesying against the northern kingdom, he was challenged by the priest at Bethel, Amaziah. Amaziah had sent a letter to the king and said, "This fellow Amos is a real problem. He is prophesying against you and against the kingdom. You better do something about it." And coming to Amos, he said, "You better not prophesy anymore. You better go back home where you came from." And Amos answered him here in verse 14, chapter 7. "I was no prophet, neither was I a son of the prophet. But I was a herdman and a gatherer of the sycamore fig fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, 'Go, prophesy unto my people Israel.'" So Amos is just saying, "Hey, I was just an ordinary person. I'm a nobody. And one day while I was just following my flock, the Lord came to me and said, 'Go and prophesy.'" I'm convinced that God has a place of service for each one of us. That God has a work for each of us to do. None of you are so beautiful as that God saved you just so you could come and sit in one of the pews as a beautiful ornament and everybody say, "Oh, isn't that beautiful?" But God reached out and touched our lives, not only for that which he could do in us, but for that which he desires through us, to touch a needy world around us. God's interest in your life goes far beyond redemption. That's the beginning of God's work. God wants to use your life as his instrument to touch a needy world. God has chosen to use human instruments to do his work. Now, God could work entirely apart from man. God could use angels to accomplish his purposes. But for some reason, God has chosen men to touch men. God is ordained to touch the lives of others through people. And God uses just plain, ordinary people to do his work. As Amos said, "I was no prophet, nor was I a prophet's son. I was just a herdman, a fig picker, when God came and called me to do his work." We remember James tells us concerning Elijah the prophet. Now, Elijah was a man of like passions, just like we are. It is interesting how that whenever we see a person who is being used of God, we somehow think of that person as some kind of a special, talented, gifted, ordinary, superordinary kind of an individual. We never think of God just using ordinary people like us. Those people that God uses, we think, oh, they're just something special. They're something out of the ordinary. They've been so gifted, so talented, and so special that God uses them, that they have some edge over everybody else. Now, there are always those men who try to give you this impression, that they are something super special, that they are gifted above others, that they have a better grasp of things, a better understanding, and a greater talent to guide and to direct. And they try to come off with this kind of a impression on others. Usually they get into politics. The most frightening thing in the world for me is to realize that a politician is no different from anybody else. That these guys that are making the decisions that are governing our lives are just as stupid as we are. In fact, even more so, I feel, at times. And that's frightening. They're not something special. They're not something superordinary. They don't have any more understanding or better judgment than you have. In fact, in many cases, I'm sure their judgment isn't nearly as valuable as yours. Now, unfortunately, in the spiritual realm, we've carried this over also in the church. And those men that are in the leadership roles, they try to come off with the, well, friend, I'm sorry to tell you, I'm just holier than you are. And I'm closer to God than you. Now, I have, a little special relationship here. And, I'll be glad to put in a good word for you for a few bucks, So I'll wear my clothes that will distinguish me from you so that you'll know when I walk by that the rustling of my robes means that I'm really holy, God really listens to me, that I'm something special in the eyes of God, and you're just, unfortunately, just a poor, common, ordinary person, and thus, you're removed from God a ways, but I'm quite a bit closer. Not so. That's a false impression. Every one of us are equally near to God. God will listen to you just as quickly as he'll listen to Billy Graham or anybody else. God will listen to you just as quickly as he'll listen to the Pope. The Pope doesn't have any special audience with God. And believe it or not, he's just an ordinary person like you are. He has nothing special. God chooses to use ordinary people to do his work. You don't have to have some kind of special talent or anointing or whatever. But it's so sad that men have come off with this kind of a attitude and all that gives the impression, well, you see, you better not try to read the Bible for yourself. You should have a good education before you can ever understand it. So don't worry about reading the Bible. I'll read it for you and I'll tell you what God meant to say. And so I think, leave the praying for those spiritual people. Leave the work of God for those who have the education and the talent and the abilities. Surely God doesn't want me. God isn't interested in me because, man, I'm just a plain, ordinary guy. And so he has no interest in me, but that's not true. God is interested in you, and God wants to use you to do his work. But you see, because of this religious charade, most people disqualify themselves from the work of God. And you know the grounds upon which a person usually disqualifies himself? Oh, Lord, not me. I'm just an ordinary person. God, you don't want to call me. You don't want to use me, God, because I'm just an ordinary person. Oh, God, you can't use me because, you know, I'm nothing, Lord. And most people are disqualifying themselves because they're just plain people. They're just ordinary people, and somehow I feel God doesn't use ordinary people. But Amos was saying, hey, I wasn't anybody. I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't even a prophet's son. Hey, man, I was just a fig picker when God called me and told me to come up here and prophesy. You mean to tell me that God can use fishermen? God can use tax collectors? God can use tent makers? God can use janitors? You mean God uses ordinary people? You bet your life he does. Ask Peter if God can use fishermen. Ask Paul if God can use a tent maker. Ask Matthew if God can use a tax collector. These men were all just ordinary men when they were called of God to follow him and to do his work. Somehow we have the impression God only uses perfect people. Oh God, I know you can't use me because I'm so imperfect, Lord. And again, I hate this hypocrisy where a person tries to come off as so holy and so righteous and so perfect. You know, you can even hold your hands in a perfect position, just, and your head, and the whole thing, you know, you just get that attitude of you know, just, oh my, isn't he? Ooh, he must never think a bad thought. He must never lose his temper. He must, oh, so perfect. Oh, that's marvelous, but God surely can't use me because, man, ooh, I'm just far from perfect. I don't know how to hold my hands. I don't know how to look. I'm just an ordinary person. Surely God can't use me because I'm such a sinner. Does God use sinners to do his work? God's, when he called Isaiah, Isaiah said, oh, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Peter said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And Paul claimed the title of chiefest of sinners. And yet, God used them. You see, if God used only perfect people, there would be no one to use. And so he has to use imperfect people to do his work. And so your imperfections do not disqualify you. Nor does your ordinary status disqualify you. Because God uses ordinary, imperfect people to accomplish his work. Somehow we think that God only uses highly talented people. And because I'm not a highly talented individual, God can't use me. And yet, the calling of God is really all that I need, because the calling of God is the enabling of God. Whatever God has called me to do, He will then enable me to do it. You see, God doesn't call me to use my own talents. He doesn't call me to use my own genius, my own wit, my own ability. He just calls me to yield my life to Him, that I might be the instrument through which He might do His work. And so the Lord did not really call highly talented individuals. He called plain, ordinary individuals to do His work, and then He enabled them with the power of His Holy Spirit to do the things that they could never have done apart from the enabling of the Spirit. So we have been disqualifying ourselves, much as did Moses. Lord, you can't mean me. I can't speak. And God says, who made man's mouth? Don't tell me you can't speak. I'm not concerned in your ability to speak. I made your mouth. You think I can't put the words there? And we're always begging off from the call of God, because we feel the lack of ability, the lack of talent, or just the plain ordinary aspects of our own existence and being. It's interesting to me to note when God's call came to Amos. Because some people have that false conception that in order that God might call me to the ministry, I've got to quit my job and I've got to go off someplace and just sit and wait for God to call. But Amos said, while I was following the flock, while I was engaged in my ordinary task, while I was doing my ordinary thing, the word of the Lord came and God called me to go. God's call comes to a man as he is engaged in the ordinary aspects of life, usually working at his regular job. Matthew was sitting at the receipt of customs when Jesus went by and he said, come on and follow me. Peter and John were mending their nets when Jesus said, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They hadn't quit their jobs and gone off someplace to just wait upon the call of God to lead me into some new ministry. They were engaged in their regular occupations, and God came and called them to do His work. Many times the call of God does not even necessitate your change of occupation. It is wrong to think that God only calls men into full-time active ministry. The work of God for your life probably does not involve a full-time active ministry. But But it means that you're open and available to God whenever and however He needs and desires to use your life. As I followed my flocks, Amos said, the Lord said to me, go. Behind the call of God is the heart of God, the heart of love for the lost. The Lord woke me up this morning at 3:00. He woke me up with a song in my heart. I was singing as I woke up at 3:00 this morning. Fortunately for my wife, not aloud, just within my heart. As I awakened, I was singing a song of God's love, and it just went over and over and over in my heart. God is love. The heavens tell it. Stars above in beauty are relating it. God is love. Hear it as it whispers in a gentle breeze. Hear it as the robin echoes the song, God is love. All over, God is declaring His love to man. And for just the longest time, I was just overwhelmed with the love of God. Just in my heart, singing of His love. And then the Lord brought my text to me. As the Lord said to Amos, go tell my people. But you see, Israel had turned from God. They turned their back on God. They had forsaken God. The nation Israel had turned to idolatry. They were worshiping Baal. And that's why God had to send the prophet, because the people had strayed so far away from God. But the interesting thing is that though they had rejected Him, He had not yet rejected them. He still called them, my people, go tell my people. And I was impressed by that great heart of God and that love of God, that even though they had failed, even though they had turned, even though they had forsaken, He was still holding on with His love and saying, my people, go tell my people. We look around at this world and the conditions of the world, and we are prone to become bitter, jaundiced at the attitude that men have taken towards God and towards righteousness and towards morality. I could wring Donahue's neck. For the lifestyle forms that he seems to advocate on his program. I get so upset, and yet God still loves, and that's the thing. Where I am prone to say, forget them, God still loves. God still says, my people. And thus, he seeks to use those who are in touch with him to touch those who are out of touch with him.
go, tell my people. I think that there is no joy in all the world that can parallel the joy of realizing God used me to touch someone for himself. To be the instrument through which God has done his work today. God used my life to touch their life. Oh, how exciting that is. No joy can compare with that joy of knowing that God used me, just a plain, ordinary person, but yet he used me to do his work in the life of someone else. What a joy, what a blessing, what a thrill to be used of God. God wants you to experience that joy and that blessing and that thrill this week. As you're going on in your regular daily routine, if your ear is open, I'm certain that you'll hear the voice of God saying, go. Tell my lost sheep, that lost child, I love them. I care about them. I want them. You say, oh, but God, I'm so ordinary, I can't do that. Oh, God, I'm full of flaws myself. God, I can't do that. God uses ordinary people, well flawed, to do his work. God wants to use you. After all, he's used me. That should encourage everybody. So we pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. In whatever capacity, in whatever way. And Lord, we want today to just be available and to make ourselves available, Lord, as the instrument through which you might work. Lord, we don't know exactly what it is that you want to do. We're really not sure, Lord, that you want us to be a part of it. But if you do, we want you to know, Lord, that we're here, we're available, and we're ready. Speak the word, Lord, and we will go. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, I was in conference with several Jewish leaders concerning the rebuilding of the temple, to which they have really dedicated their lives. Now, I know that God is planning for the temple to be rebuilt. The scriptures are there. The prophecies are there. God gave to John in the book of the Revelation a ruler, and he said, now go and measure the new temple and its courts. So God plans that the temple be rebuilt. That I know. These men are working towards that end. Now, as they talked to me, they felt that I also had a part in the rebuilding of the temple. At least they tried to conscript me. I told them, I said, now look, I know that the temple is to be rebuilt. That's prophecy. When? I'm not sure. And through whose efforts? I don't know. Now, I really don't know. I can't say that God has called me to rebuild the temple or have any part of it. I don't know that God has any part in that for me. I know that God plans to do it. Who God plans to use, I don't know. And so with these fellows who were pushing me, I said, look, if God plans for me to have any part, as minuscule as it might be, I'm available to God. It doesn't seem to me that God, you know, you read in the Bible and you know in the Bible the temple is going to be rebuilt, but to think that God might use you in some even small way in doing it, it doesn't seem possible, but yet who knows? You see, who knows? But it would surely be exciting if God did, in his plan, have you figured out as one of the parts in, you know, the whole thing. I don't know. All I know is that I want to be available to God for whatever he has for me, whatever he may want me to do. That's the thing. Your availability to God. This week, just being available for God to use. However, whenever. And so I pray that God will give you a very special week. And may God speak to your heart. And may God use you as the instrument through which he touches the life of another. And may you know that joy and blessing of just being used by God to do his work. In Jesus' name.